When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
How dare we not trust ourselves? We're full of wonder, creativity, great ideas. How would I not trust myself to follow that stuff through? Like, why would I even be given the idea of something great if it's not supposed to, like, come to fruition?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Human, a space to reimagine self-love, strengthen interpersonal relationships, and peel back the layers of the human experience, one conversation at a time. Brought to you by the Revolt Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey Eich, and I am so excited for you guys to be here for this episode. This episode's guest is singer, songwriter, actress, mother, and new author, Kelly Rowland. Kelly and I got human to human about self-trust and the truth of how long it takes to develop that, because it does take time. We also talked about adding new titles to our careers, not being afraid to ask questions, and how the fear of looking stupid will always hold you back. I have to laugh about that one, y'all, because even though we know it's true, we still do it. All right. So in every episode, I like to share a song to add to your playlist, a book to check out, and a reflection question inspired by the episode you're about to hear. So let's get into it. This episode's song of the week is Flowers by Kelly Rowland. This week's book is Always With You, Always With Me, Kelly's new book. And while you're listening, reflect on this question. Who can you reach out to this week to teach you something new? Whether it's in your career or personal development, whatever it is, think about that person. And after this episode, I hope you reach out to them and take that next step into pouring into yourself. Now, let's get human to human with Kelly Rowland. I am so excited to have our guest on today, powerhouse musical artist, actress, and author Kelly Rowland, which I'm not going to lie, I'm loving how author rolls off my tongue. It feels really good. I hope it feels good to you. Thanks for being on the show. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Right. I'm loving as I'm having the moment to talk through your book and the new things happening in your career. It's easy for me to say, okay, if externally she has all these pivots and changes, how is it affecting her internally? How's her human experience going through that? Right. And so I'd love to start with, as you've been changing a lot of your careers, or let me not say changing, pivoting and adding to your long resume, how has that been for you internally? What are some ideas you've had to change about yourself through this process?
One, it's all been really awesome because it's all in a space of creativity. And I feel like in pivoting creatively, it's still a way to exercise that muscle, which is still allowing me to have, you know, it makes me happy, makes me full of joy, makes me feel like I'm still bringing things forward.
Yeah.
And, I'm moving forward and pushing and challenging myself and asking myself all these questions. Cause I remember, like, you know, doing things and the process would be like, okay, I did it. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. And it wasn't really like being lost in the joy of the process. Mm. So with the process of any and everything that I'm doing right now, I'm making sure that I learn about every tier of whatever it might be. So with like the children's book I just put out and starting it, I didn't know anything about children's books, but I knew that this idea that my co-author Jessica McKay had resonated with me because I'm a working mom. My son deals with his emotions with me leaving home and, you know, not seeing me for days or weeks or a month at a time. That has happened. Mm-hmm. And what that emotion was like for me. And I'd never seen a book like that. Okay, let's talk about it. Oh, well, one, it's a Black family. Have to have the Black family represented in the book. Well, what is the woman doing? What is her, you know, motivation? What is she, you know, giving? What is she going to show the next generation? Everything had intention. And I feel like if everything that I'm doing has intention, it has to manifest itself in a way that is bigger and beyond me. That's how you know you're doing things that don't have anything to do with you. You're just a little part of the process. And I want to remain humble in that way, because even though I'm given the idea, to execute it is trusting myself. And I want to trust myself wholeheartedly to where there's intention behind every part of it.
Yeah. I'm just like, there's so much to unpack there. I want to first highlight, you mentioned doing things right. Right. And that's something that I strongly have had to unlearn, the right and wrongness of things. So I'd love to ask you, how has your definition of right and wrong changed over time?
For me, it was right if it was being looked at from everyone else as it being this, you know, success. You know what I mean? I have to see it as success. You know what I mean? If I don't see it as success and what I've done in this project is a success to me, how will it come forth later like that? You know what I mean? Anyone else? I think that people can see success when you put something great out. Like I just ran past this picture of B during, you know, you that you cause that conversation. Like I'm just having a brain fart right now, the record. But I go hard.
Mm-hmm.
Era was so intentional for her, and it empowered a whole bunch of folks because I know her. I know her brain. I know how everything was so fine-tuned and meticulous, and it was things going off in her brain that was just, it was, she knew the assignment. It was bigger than her. And she always operates like that. And it's the quality of her that I admire so much. And I was like, I'm going to hone in on that.
Yeah.
I love it. You know what I mean? Just by watching. So I think that you can see when people have the same thing with Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes has intention. You know what I mean? You could just tell the intention is different with Rihanna and Fenty. Her intention is different. You could tell.
Yeah, it hits. Yes.
Everyone is seen. So it's just interesting to see what people's intention is, how it's put into things and how it manifests itself in such a great big way.
Love that. It's so interesting because when somebody is in that creative bubble, as much as they know this is not for me and my intention is here, you never know how it's going to land. And so those examples you just named, who are all amazing Black women who have literally changed courses, right? Mm-hmm. Of people's view of themselves, a view of others. You're like, wow, all of that happened like in their brain, in their mind, in their heart. So it's really a wonderful thing that you listed those women, and also that you know that you contribute to that list, that you should know from us and from other people that you contribute to that list. So, you know, congratulations to continue. Yeah.
Thank you. Every woman contributes to their list. It's not like just celebrities. You know what I mean? Like, I think now she's a celebrity, but is it Jada? Jada? I don't know how to pronounce Jada's
name. Nova?
Jada Sheeps. She's an influencer now, but she started her business at 18, 16 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, like, just by selling weaves and wigs. And she's just like, upgraded herself in a way that's just remarkable. Or Drea, who started Men Swim. You know what I mean? No one was thinking about swimsuits in a way that she's executing them. Like everybody in this space, I think that there was this time and space where people would put Black women in a box and saying, well, there's only space for one. And that's bull. They just tried to get us to do that so that we could bicker amongst each other. Yeah. Now when everybody's creating all these beautiful lanes, you got Alicia doing skincare and, you know, Gabrielle doing hair care and doing hair. Like there's space for everybody to be great and us to support each other all in the same bubble and be great together and get this bread together.
It's really the championship for me. It's really the championing for me. It is just the list you're naming, the friends that are popping in my head as you're saying it. I'm like, God, I just love my friends and I'm so happy for them. The text I'm going to send out after this, you know, you're just like, we can keep going, keep doing it. I love that. And I love that you have that for yourself and for others. And I think sometimes when we run up against those new parts of ourselves, those new challenges we want to in our careers, there are limitations we run up against, right? And I'd love to know where you felt, oh, wow, okay, I'm limited in this space. This is where I need to lean on for help. First, where were some of those places that you're like, okay, I have to lean on in all the different places you branched out from motherhood to career, from, you know, next steps in producing to acting, where did you start saying, okay, I've got to lean on help. I need help here.
So I remember doing the third installment of my Christmas movies with Lifetime. And even still, like even how that came about, that was another woman empowering me and just telling me that I was going to EP a project I didn't know anything about. You know, I mean, well, I made the story, of course, it was the story of my life, but she was like, no, you'll EP it and you'll make sure that everything goes right. I'm like, I don't know anything about EPing. So I called on the help of some other women. And then the third installment, I realized I needed something different. And I called on Laretha Jones, and she's been in this business for years, and she's smart. And
when something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
She's brilliant, and no one has anything bad to say about this woman. Like, she's so brilliant. I was like, can you EP this with me? I was so excited because I knew it was a time for me to learn more at that time. Mm-hmm. And I had so many questions, and she answers questions so incredibly smart and ask the questions that sometimes are uncomfortable, but she's like, no, we ask them anyways. And I was like, that's right. She's like, because when you ask them, you get an answer on the other side. That's the best part. And I was like, yes, you're right. And I just realized I just needed all of her wisdom. I literally want her next to me all the time. I just think she's so brilliant. But I asked the women around me. That's it. Like, there was a girlfriend of mine. I just asked about a new project that I'm really excited about, but I need more information. I was like, can we talk next week? She's like, sure. You know what I mean? I have so many different things that are running through my brain, but I have to ask. If I don't know the answer, I think that, you know, for a while I was like, well, if I don't know, they'll know that I don't know. And then I'm just saying the don't know ism.
And then I just don't know. I still don't know though.
It's not enough to not know. Like,
yeah.
Then where does that get you? You know what I mean? With a idle idea that is sitting and it's not manifesting, but you were also given the gift of the genius. Someone that I know says, the genius is when you get the idea. So he said, my bad. I'm just excited to share.
I love it.
So he said, it's one thing to have an idea. The genius behind the idea is the execution of it. That is everything.
So let's give some tools on the execution, right? Because that's such an honest thing we have to talk about when we are in our silos, and especially, you know, the pandemic definitely broke us open in this space where it's like, I don't want everyone to know the things I don't know, which is really sad that we have stopped raising our hand, right? I don't know what school did to us, but after a while you're like, I don't want you to know, I don't know, which is so unfortunate because somehow we thought we were supposed to stop learning after what, 22? Right. This is a lifelong journey of learning, right? And so for you to express that and be open about that, can we talk about what is in your execution toolbox?
Asking the questions. Mm-hmm. A five list for the week for me. Have I spoken to this person? Did I get an answer? Did I follow up? Who knew do I need to reach out to see this through? Mm-hmm. It's more so your follow-up game. Your follow-up game is everything.
Just say that. That's follow-up it.
Everything.
And with confidence. Yes.
Yes. The truth is when we look at ourselves in the mirror at the end of the day and you say, did I do everything it was in my day to be as successful as I wanted to be in whatever aspect it is, motherhood, work, wife, whatever it is. And if you can say yes, you're doing a damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's something that you avoid telling yourself when you are looking in the mirror, having one of those moments of, okay, Kelly, I can do this. I can ask, I can, you know, whatever, but we all have those self-talks that we are still working through. Some of us are working through, you know, right. So hand is raised. and there are moments when I don't know something. And I'm surprised I don't know. I'm like, dang, I can't believe you still don't know that. Right. And I'm working through that because that is so unfair to say, I can't believe you still don't know. So for you, do you have those words or those sentences you've said, avoid that when you are in your process of learning?
Mm, It's I've had to get out of the what if phase, because it's sometimes a what if that will throw you off. Like, well, are they going to take your phone call? What? And then I'm like, then the other part of me goes, yeah, they're going to take your phone call. You know, but I did have that time where I actually thought that, like, it's like, yes. And it's not because of like fame or nothing like that. It's more so I have something great to share. If I have something great to share and I communicate it and express it the way I'm supposed to, and I talk about it with passion and zeal, then yeah, we're both lucky to be on this phone call. Yes.
Yeah.
I think sometimes our like identity, like it's trapped in like old stuff. And like, I have to check myself too. It happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to remind yourself. I remember my best friend called me. She's like, you better tell them who the you are.
Yep. Hey, let me tell you about your friend group. I would like to be added to the group chat. I just would like to be added. I mean, what? This is the group chat of, I am loving it. I love how quickly you're able to pull from those chats, from those friends, from those people. And you even just hinted on something so wonderful. What are you currently unlearning right now?
What am I currently unlearning? The noise that noise. I'm currently unlearning noise. And the noise is the what if. The noise is the, are you sure you know how to communicate that? Because I had this whole thing where I was like, do I know how to communicate properly? Well, I'm learning how to communicate properly. It was, yeah, that stuff that's the opposite of what God tells you who you are.
Yeah.
If God tells me I'm all these wonderful things, how can I be this thing that is trying to ring so loud? But that thing be ringing loud.
So loud. I mean, it'd be a alarm clock. I'm like, is the alarm on?
Yeah. Trying to like mute that stuff is crazy. But I mean, if it's been with you for as long as you've been living, it's going to be loud. And it's cool to say, okay, you're loud, but I need to cut you down.
Yeah.
And know the difference. Cause that's, I think that I got it. And I actually got that from one of my best friends in Houston. She said she remembers her daughter coming home from school and saying, you know, the enemy tried to tell me that I was not pretty today. And she was like, well, what did you think in your head? She was like, well, I knew it was a lie because that's not what God says. And, you know, God says, and she goes to a scripture, you know what I mean? So it's however you get through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just have to know that that's not the real thing. It's just the noise.
And have you ever had moments where, you know, the noise gets familiar, right? It gets comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then to reject the noise and be so honest and open and willing to be like, I'm evolving past the noise. Have you had moments when you were like, the noise is comforting, I might keep you around?
Yeah. In my teens, in my 20s.
Yeah.
In some of my 30s. Yeah. And in my 40s, it's like, you got to.
You were taking up. I felt it. Oh my God.
I'm like, we got time for that noise. It's too, you got too many ideas. You got too many things you like sitting on thinking about. And I literally watched the way Jay moves. Jay Z. I think he's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And he moves in silence, power, and greatness. It's like nothing, it's nothing boastful about it. It's just knowing the work, you know what I mean? And what you bring to the table. And that's important.
Yeah. So I'm gonna synthesize that a bit and say that it's okay to take time to develop the knowing, right? Because you really just gave us some, hey, y'all, in my 30s, I still dealt with it. I'm in my 30s. And there are moments that I'm like, I would like to move past this. Like, you know, and I'm like, hold on, Stace, this is still a learning journey. And I'm sharing that because I believe even the audience, we're all learning through something and we expect ourselves to be past certain levels. I think therapy has helped that too. But I love that you were, hands are raised, by the way. So we support therapy here. But for you to express, yes, it took 20s, it took some teens, it took some of the 30s. And now you said, bet, we're done with that. But it took time.
Yeah. And P.S. is going to rear its ugly head at some point or another. And it's right. Not to say that it don't happen like on the daily. Right. I still have those moments. Like I literally was texting someone who is like really, really important that I need to be texting or and talking to on my list. But I'm like, well, they're just so busy. well, what if they don't read it? Of course they're going to read it. Like, I hear this stuff all the time. And it's like, it's there. It should be there to like, it shouldn't be there, period. But it should almost be the driving force too, because it's like, it actually plays as a double-edged sword, because it's like, if you're that much closer to that greatness, everything is going to talk you out of it. You know what I mean?
Moment of silence for the greatness people. I do know what you mean. I do know what you mean. We have got to send that. We got to send it. Continue, Kelly. That was great. Continue.
But you know what I mean?
I do. Like, it I seems really
like
do.
You are to it, like the more noise it is. And sometimes you're like there by yourself. So when you're there by yourself, it's even harder. You almost wish like someone was there to be like, no, you're making a great decision. But it's the time you like actually lean on yourself the most.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
And as Sarah Jakes would say, it's like being or getting comfortable in the discomfort of it all.
Yeah.
That is a really hard place to sit in. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that circles back to what you said about the self-trust and letting that be the highest voice. Right. And it's like, it's something that it just takes time. I think, again, we can have really high expectations of ourselves. I love how humans are. We're so beautiful and so imperfect. And yet we are just so hard on ourselves. Right. And it just makes no sense. I'm like, guys, but it's called a journey. And we're like, no, I was the one who was supposed to surpass that journey. Like, no, everyone has to go through it, yeah. You know? And so I just really appreciate that, because I deeply know what you mean in terms of that aloneness of, oh, it's just my voice. I have to just trust this one. Just mine.
And I know for me, like, I was raised by a woman, my mother, who didn't quite trust her voice. Learned behavior. It's still happen.
Yeah.
So it's unlearning all of that kind of stuff too. You've seen it. Like I saw it happen like right before my eyes. Like every decision that was made, it was just like she made some great decisions, and she made some decisions where she was like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have made that decision, but I watched her make them. Mm-hmm. So you're watching it happen.
Yeah. Did you appreciate watching her mistakes unfold?
And now that I'm an adult, yes. But like in that time, I was like, why? But it's fine. I mean, my son is deaf. Girlfriend of mine was like, oh, just wait till you hear all the stuff he's going to say about you. I was like,
right.
That is so cool. I can't believe you just said it to me. She was like, well, just as sure as you have stuff that was a challenge with your mom, your son is going to have that with you. You have to understand you're not going to be the perfect mother. I'm not the perfect mother. And she was like, but you will figure it out. And hopefully you will have humility along the way and show him humility, and that adults make mistakes. And you go from there.
So we talked about, you kind of mentioned some of your limitations. What were some things that showed you your capacity and how much you maybe even surprised yourself in some of your pivots, in some of your new experiences? You can go from motherhood, you can go from career, you can go from being an author, any of those things. What surprised you about yourself?
I just kept learning. Like it was the amount that I was learning like a day. I was like, whoo, this is a lot of information. And it was being able to like break down and process it all. I actually wish I would have wrote it down as I was doing it as it was happening.
Yeah.
Because I think you continue to learn sometimes the same lesson if you haven't really grasped it. But I think that it was it was the amount of information I was still learning and what I was like learning to trust about myself. Like even this, like with the new project with fantasy football, as I'm watching Marseille or Omari with their lines and how they take in things, how they communicate, how they listen in the, on the conversation, and how when I listen, it actually flows. But like, you just are learning, you know what I mean? Like just continuously open to being a student.
I love that. I love that. And I think it's just, yeah, it's so important that you got to see both sides. You're like, okay, this is where I need help. And this is where I'm always going to soar, because we are in relationship with people. We are in the world with people. We're not here alone. And so it's just, that's really dope. Well, what is something that you've newly learned about yourself through a relationship, whether platonic or romantic?
Oh, well, that my husband is a G.
You better.
Him for being married to a woman that is learning how to communicate.
Yeah.
Because he is the first man that I've ever truly trusted. He has to get the brunt of, he has to bear the brunt of all of that stuff. You know what I mean? Whether it's a daddy issue or whatever it is, but I'm grateful that he allows me grace.
Yeah.
And I think he is an extraordinary human being because of that, for sure.
So as you are experiencing him give you grace, does it show you, this is where I can give other people grace more? Because that communication thing is so serious. And as we get older, that's it. It's just communication. That's the relationship. And it's a hard learning curve for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're now having to experience yourself, watch somebody give you grace. And now how does that make you feel with other people and the way they communicate towards you?
Oh, man. I mean, one is that we're all doing the best with the tools that we have.
Yes.
And it's a balance. I mean, for me, I'm learning that it's a balance because I'm an energy person. And my energy gift, I'll say, which I think a lot of women have this energy intuition gift. In the moment that you meet someone, whether their energy is great or it's negative, I used to react off of that instead of, and if it was a bad energy, well, I won't say bad, but just people just have some challenging days.
Not mismatched. Yeah.
Exactly. If it was an energy that didn't quite match up with mine at the time, I was immediately taking on theirs by accident. Does that make sense? Like I would be in this bubbly mood and then I'd see theirs or, you know, try to in my head to be like, nope, not going to take it on. And next thing I knew, because I'm focusing on it so much, I took it on.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And you're an empath, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
I'm like, God dog it. I did not want that today. Yeah. I heard a quote and I think that's why I was so aware of it. I heard a quote that said, you have to remember to be the thermometer. Never let anyone change your temperature. You create the energy and the weather in the room. Well, the temperature in the room. So yeah. I thought that was really dope of a quote. Sometimes I just literally will be like, I'll leave. if it's too much for me, I will leave.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I don't feel like I deserve that.
That's not what your energy can hold today.
Yeah, I can't, right? I can't, because I don't know if mine might trump yours later and I might do or say something even worse. Like I watched it happen in an airport 3 days ago. I watched this woman to be like, no, go on into the other line. Da, da, da. It was the way she was expressing that to people. And I'm sure she worked her butt off the whole day. She was
right.
And I get that. It's just a different way you can talk to people. It's at night. Everybody's frustrated. The people trying to get on the plane. People are trying to leave to go home. Yeah, I get it. But then I noticed it was like just traveling. And I noticed it from the people who were pushing the people in the wheelchair to the people who were taking your tickets, to the people who were helping you put your stuff on the thing to go through the x-ray machine. It was just transferring all over the airport. But I met one girl. She was just as lovely as she could be. And she kept herself with her smile. I could see it through her mask. Her eyes were like lit up. And she was like, yes, ma'am, you go through this way. Da, 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 da. She was just so graceful with it. And when I got to the other side, I said, thank you for not shifting your energy. I said, it's such crazy, like, energies like shooting through the airport. I said, this specific part, I was like, and you just kept so focused. I was like, it just goes to show what an incredible grace you are. Like, we need you. Thank you so much. And she said, thank you for saying that.
That is so beautiful.
You got to see people and give them their flowers when you can, you know, yeah. But it was just crazy to see that. And I was like, I never want to be a part of that.
Wow. I wonder as we're talking about communication as well, when someone's giving you energy that you're like, I really can't do this today. Do you communicate, hey, I can't do this today? Or do you just remove yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how to take that right now because I'm going through something myself. But what exactly are you saying? Because I don't know what it means. Like sometimes I can't hear the tone right because my tone is off. But I'll have to say that when I'm communicating.
Right.
So it's clear. And they don't feel like it's them. It's not necessary. It might not necessarily be me, or it might, you know what I mean? I don't know what happens, but I'm like, but by the way, sometimes I'm just not that aware either. It depends on the day.
Because we're still human.
Exactly. I'm like, sometimes I'm just not that energy aware. I'm like, you know what?
And if the honest of truth was a sound, would be it.
Yes.
would be it. It is just, it's so true. Cause one of the things I'm unlearning is like, and it sucks. I can't be there for everyone. Mm-hmm. That hurt my, I liked being there for everyone, but also there's something I'm having to learn through that. You know, what is that? Where does that stem from? Is there some kind of people pleasing there? So there's a whole other journey there. Right. Mm-hmm. And learning, I can't be there for everyone because our energies aren't always aligned at the same time. Sometimes what I'm able to express isn't the right time to hear. You know, you can't take it. And then sometimes what you're able to express, I can't take it. Just in that, and we have to protect each other in that way. And that does require a new level of communication that sometimes hurts, you know, our friends' feelings. So, and I see how expressive you are.
Limba Chicken Chow Mein, Mkhetwa, aka Big Wara.
Yo, it's Big Fred, aka Ntate Thusiwadi Podcast.
Kiki Tubafetu, and we are the Sobering Podcast.
Tune in to us every second Wednesday for fire conversations and interviews about South African music, sneakers, and street culture.
Check us out on the Revolt Podcast Network.
Shout out to our moms.
About your friendships and how loud you are. And that's how I just love my friends so much. I love my family. You know, you just love the people that God was like, hey, you're going to do life with these people. I'm like, bet you saw me up with these people. I'm so happy. Yes. So I watch you in that same expressiveness. I'm like, how does she maneuver? You know, what friend are you now versus the friend you were in your 20s?
Yeah. I mean, in my 20s, if I'm being very transparent, in my 20s, I was still going through finding myself. You know what I mean? So in finding myself, I think that I was happy for my girlfriends, but I was also like, why can't I was seeing more and feeling more for myself. So if I saw them doing something great, as happy as I was just wondering, where was my footing in it all? Like, am I losing my, if they were, you know what I mean? I'm like, yes. Where am I? You know? And that's, I mean, all of my girlfriends are doing great things. You know what I mean? So I think in your 20s, you compare too much.
Yeah.
So I was comparing too much and I couldn't see what was already on the inside of me, you know? So I think that when you're so busy comparing and looking at other things, of course you're going to be distracted. It's going to make you slower to get to the goals that you have for yourself. It just makes the race that much longer because you're not focused on an end goal. You focus on somebody else's stuff.
Yeah. I wonder, can we add to people's tool belt on when to take their eyes off of other people? How did you finally take your eye off? Because it's a really, that's a part of the journey too. That's a, you know, we're in comparison culture, right? Where it is just being down our throats and we're in information culture at the same time. And those things are both happening. And we're also expecting everybody, no, but also do you. It's like, hold up, we gotta be real about the tools. Do we have the tools to be us? So for you, what was that shift?
It was Titan. It was Titan. Hmm. The fact that he was looking at just me. He looked at just me. My husband also motivated that. He was looking at just me. family definitely changed my life for the better. In a way where it forced me to look at myself. And I think that when I said, "Ooh, you about to turn 30, what you doing with yourself?" It's literally what I said, like, "Wait, you about to turn 30, what are you doing?" Mm-hmm. Like, ain't nobody else looking like that, like you gotta, let's, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It was that. It was the real question. Like, what are we doing here?
It was, I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm going to go ahead and tell myself the truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I feel you. We have something we call the honest gems on the show, honest gems segment. And so I'd love to ask you three quick questions. What is something that they don't really tell us about marriage?
They say that it's hard, but they don't say how it's hard. And I think that they don't say that you are a part of the challenge. They don't tell you that you're a part of the challenge. They don't tell you about the communication part. What else don't they tell you about marriage? That you should stay best friends. They don't tell you, like, you need to have date night. You need to, like, hang out. Like, me and Tim went to a New Edition concert. And we were in there like we were doing MC Hammer, like you're supposed to be silly, like you're supposed to like have this person as your best friend, like talk about anything, even when it's hard and it's goofy, and it's like you're supposed to experience all these different emotions with that person. I think that I had this moment where I just wanted to be so perfect for Tim all the time. That's not real. it's not real at all. And I had to and have had to just strip that away,
Yeah, I learned a little bit through your interview of talking about when Tim kind of basically told you he was the one for you and you were like, give me a second.
Yep.
And I feel like people have this idea that when women meet a guy that is wonderful for them, they're like, oh my God, wife me up. I'm like, no, women also have a challenge coming around because we're all human beings and we're all afraid of falling. That's why it's called falling in love. I'm about to lose all control and fall for you. I know what that means. Give me a second. And how did you finally come to terms with this is my man? And now I gotta fall. Like, push me. I'm gone.
One, like I said, that he's like the only man that I've ever trusted. Mm-hmm. But two, I think that another thing was definitely his, just how much he loves, like his heart is such a big heart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was a big one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Another question I have for you is, what is something they don't tell us about motherhood?
Oh my gosh. Something that they don't tell us about motherhood would be it consumes you. it's ever consuming. Like, it never goes off your brain. Their schedule, what they're doing, how they're feeling, emotions. It's ever consuming. But in the most beautiful way, that you're going to make mistakes. They never tell you you're going to make mistakes. They're just like, it's like, oh, the mother is perfect. And the mother is this. No, that's bull crap.
Yep.
Mother's going to make mistakes by default. Yep. It's not like intentional. You don't intentionally like mean to hurt your child. You know what I mean? You don't intentionally mean to bring them trauma. You don't intentionally do that. Mm-hmm. I think that you want them to be the best version of themselves. They don't tell you that sometimes you operate off of fear, you know, in being a mother. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that when they're, this is me personally, like in school, I liked school, but I wish my mom would have motivated me just a little bit more and my grades would have been like a little bit better. So I grew up with this complex that I wasn't smart. So I'm so obsessed with Titan being smart.
Mm.
And his dad will see where I'm like, well, did you finish this? Well, did you practice on your letters for this? Well, what does this equal? He's like, give him a break, baby. Give him a break. Tell him time out. Like, it's cool. He's got it. I'm like, okay. So your fears, by accident sometimes, it happens. Yeah. So it's checking yourself, and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
This dude be checking me.
Right. Oh my God, Kelly, I have the same, I grew up with the same complex.
Really?
It's the one I'm 2 years into therapy, and I started with, hey, these are the four things I got to work out. I want my self-trust on 15. And she's like, you're already tripping because you now have a number. That's not what it's going to be. And she has really taught me to stop equating those things. But one of the biggest things for me was, I don't know if I feel like I have to prove I'm smart, because I think something in me told me, it was the AP classes I took that I was like, let me prove I need this. What is AP doing? What did it do? You know, what did it really do? But I had to take every class. I had to make sure. And wow, just to hear that, it's something that, you know, there was some deep shame there with that. Cause I was like, this is weird. Like, you know, you're smart. Why do you keep, what right. is this?
Right. So, wow. So that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
The motherhood is awesome. It really is.
Yeah. Lastly, what is something they don't tell us about losing a parent?
That you feel it forever. It's specific holidays for me, one being Valentine's Day, my birthday, and Christmas. And I think, I'm emotional. I miss my mom the most when I don't have her to mother me. When I'm mothering Titan or I'm with Noah, but I want her to mother me. You always miss that.
Yeah.
The hold is something else. The hold, I just actually heard her voice the other day in my head. And I was like, oh my God, that was awesome to hear it again. It was awesome to hear it. I remember when I lost her, my mom was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful at signing, sign language. And he said, every time you see someone sign, you should know that's your mom being there next to you, close to you. And I do believe that. But it happens at the most random times. And that's how her presence is. I think she's always around the boys. She's always protecting them, always protecting me. But I know she's really probably just right on their toes, right on their heels, like wherever they go. But I do feel like she's with us. Mm-hmm. I can sometimes feel her, hear her. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Yeah. And when we lose a parent, that's a really big experience that I think that people in our lives, no one ever really knows how to show up for people during that. Right. I just had a friend lose somebody. And as much as I think I'm like this really great friend, I don't know if I did a good job or not. Right. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know. And so if you don't mind sharing some tools that you think people can really hold on to when someone in their life loses someone that's important, whether it's their family member or a friend or whoever they lose, how do people show up? How do you wish people showed up? Or how do you know?
You honestly, I wish actually more of my friends would ask me. I think they know that I'm like, I'm going, I'm moving, I'm this, I'm that. And I think they even know if I were to sit still enough the way I just did, and thank you for allowing me that space to actually do that, like I would shed tears. They don't like to see me cry.
Aww,
you know what I mean? My friends don't like to see me cry. Yeah. Like that happened with La one day. I was doing something and she was in the middle of filming. And I was like, she didn't call me for my birthday. And she's like, she was angry because and I didn't know she was on set, but she was getting ready to go to set, but she was mad she couldn't be here. Like really like, she was like, I just want to pick something up. Like she was mad. She couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the great part of the friend. That's like, I can't carry this for you. You know what I mean? It's like nothing they can do. You feel helpless as a friend. And my sister Angie just did the same thing. And I know she's like, before Mother's Day, she's going to be like, what are we doing for Mother's Day? But that's
to protect. Yeah.
She's like, what are we doing for Mother's Day? Like that's, she's going to ask,
right.
But she'll be too nervous to say, are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Do you want to talk about it? Like, she's just, her heart is just so good. Everything yeah. about her. So it'll really take a lot for her to ask me about my mom.
But you would prefer that, right? You would prefer it's okay for us to ask and go through those pains yeah. and be okay and to sit in it, because you're not asking your friends to do anything. You just want them to be there.
Yeah. The only thing is they have to be comfortable and be in there too. Because yeah. then you're comfortable to release if you need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I never want them or want to put them in a place where they don't feel comfortable to do that. And they know they're comfortable, but they have to be cool with it too.
Yeah. No, it is
that we provide for each other.
Yeah. We as loved ones, we want to fix our people. We don't want to like watch them be broken. We're like, no, I'm a solution. I can. And it's like, no guys, we have to break first.
Right. It's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. I want to make a pivot into your incredible new book. Yay. Like I said, I'm loving how author sounds on you.
Thanks.
It's really, really amazing. So Always With You, Always With Me, your latest book that you wrote with Jessica McKay. Tell me a little bit about it and why you are so excited to share it with the world.
Well, Always With You, Always With Me is a sweet story between a mother and her son, and the dynamics of what happens as far as emotions, of what happens during the time where she has to depart for work and the child has to depart for school, and what those dynamics are like. For me, this is a very real story because this is my life. I'm a working mom, and shooting a movie right now, literally have to leave tomorrow to go start back filming. And sure enough, Titan is going to say, well, when are you coming back? Well, when am I going to see you? Well, I miss you. Well, how long do you have to be gone? Do you have to go the whole time? It's so many questions. So it's like that. And P.S., the mother feels the same emotions. I think that sometimes in books with kids, it's just focused on the kids. This one's focused on the dynamic of the bond. And that's what I love the most about it. Myself and Jessica were so intentional with that. And of course, intentional with who our characters are, how they look, how we are represented, the sweetness there is, yes, between a Black boy and his mother. And it's just beautiful. I'm really proud of this story. And the chorus of the book was something that we were so incredibly like intentional about, because I feel like just like in songs, that's the part you remember.
Yeah.
It was so cool. A couple of weeks back, I read the book to Titan's class. By the time we got to Friday, because the book focuses on the days of the week with, you know, this story, by the time we got to Friday, the class was, I was hearing like whispers of the chorus of the book. The last page, they knew it. I was like, we did it. We did it.
Yes. It
was such a good feeling, because yes. that was something that we were so focused on. And we wanted that because when kids are experiencing this big emotion, they can think about it. When I leave for work, you may think I'm not around, but if you look closely, you'll see I can be found. Traces of magic here and there show that we're in an inseparable pair. Always with you, always with you, always with you, always with me, mommy and child together will be. Like, that's real. I say that of my mom now. You know what I mean? Her magic traces will forever be a part of me. You know what I mean? And the bond that we share forever apart. So it's a really beautiful book. I'm so proud.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And I love how you describe that. And even with your last sentence that you just said, how are you reparenting yourself through parenting your two boys?
Reparenting?
Mm-hmm. Yourself. Well, when you have moments of, I need to now communicate how long I'm going to be gone, when I'm leaving. I heard that you leave notes in their lunchboxes. To me, I'm like, oh, she's giving them things that either she didn't have, things she wished she had, things she would like, you know, she wants to communicate in a different way. So to me, you're reparenting yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't want to assume. Yeah.
Nope. You're right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because I know I do that with the boys. It's just for me, communicating is a big thing in my life. It always comes up in every single thing that I do. It's just reminding myself to communicate with myself, communicate with my husband, communicate with my kids, communicate to my staff, communicate to the people I'm doing business with. I think that it's just important to do that, because then you're clear. you're crystal clear. It's, I never want my son to say, well, I don't know where my mom is. Mm. I don't want that for him. I want him to say, oh, well, my mom's in Africa. She has a really busy day and she's shooting this and she's doing this. Like, he knows. It's not an unknowing for him. Mm. On the calendar, on the refrigerator, it's okay. Well, mommy comes back. There's a line. Mommy's gone this whole time. Where is she? She's in South Africa. What is she doing? She's shooting a campaign. Where else will she be? After that, she's going to this place. He knows my schedule. He knows everywhere that I am. I love
that. So powerful. That is so powerful. And on the heels of you publicly talking about being estranged from your father, which I can't lie to you, Kelly, I was really surprised. Maybe you haven't talked about that a lot, but I also just, maybe the way you express yourself, mm-hmm. I made an assumption that this is probably how she was experiencing expression in her family, right? And so for you to have talked about being estranged from your dad, what now have you learned about him that has, you know, got you so much closer to him and closer to your boys?
One, he's so awesome. He's such a really sweet man. And I'm so happy that I jumped. I'm happy that I also did the work before meeting him, like my self-work, and also understanding that I knew it was a possibility that I wouldn't talk to him. And I knew it was a possibility that I would. I knew it was a possibility that he could possibly not want to talk to me. And I knew it was a possibility that he did want to talk to me. Like, these are all questions like I had to ask myself before the final meeting, you know, and the final decision was made to meet him.
Yeah.
And just getting to know him and him just simply explaining how his father didn't know how to be a father to him, you know, and how that stuff is cyclical and it will rear its ugly head in every generation if we allow it to. And a lot of that is not our fault ancestrally, because of our ancestry.
Yes.
What has happened to us and how families were split apart from each other for, we all know, I just hate talking about it because I will cry. This makes me so emotional these days.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that it's really crazy to me that it actually unfolds like that, or it's unfolded like that. And my understanding of him now is so much better, that he's just a human. He's flawed like we all are. I can't expect, just because he's my parent or he's my father, to just know everything, know how to be a dad, know how to communicate. He hadn't a clue. And in my head before I met him, I thought that he did. You know what I mean? But you can't assume everybody. And just because he's an adult doesn't mean he knows better.
Thanks for sharing that. You really gave people permission for forgiveness there. You know, that's permission of forgiveness. And before we wrap, I just want to ask, what is the last thing you forgave yourself for the first time?
Oh, I'm loving this interview.
We're loving you.
What I forgave myself for?
For the first time. Or maybe repeating.
Not trusting myself. All good.
Wow, that's so weird. I just love that. Sorry.
We have to allow ourselves grace, but at the same time, I just feel like we know so much. And in a time where I feel like it's another generation, like my kids are looking at me, but it's even bigger than that. Like, how dare we not trust ourselves? We're full of wonder, creativity, great ideas. How would I not trust myself to follow that stuff through? Like, why would I even be given the idea of something great if it's not supposed to, like, come to fruition? Like, and it's a whole list. Like, I look at human beings now and I'm like, and including like myself, but I look at people, I'm like, we are just incredible pieces of creativity. Like, if we're made from creatively, like, how could we not be creative? I said that in a room the other day. I was like, I look at this whole audience and I'm like, it's more than $1 billion in this room. We just don't trust ourselves to see it through. Mm. We're all waiting for that moment, and our moment is right there. We're looking at it right in the face, but it's trusting ourselves to actually walk through it. The discomfort, the moment where we're like, ugh, I'm not sure. But if we just trust all of that and keep walking, keep our feet going, keep our head focused. I ain't looking at what's happening on the sides. Like that one Olympic swimmer. I remember watching this Olympic swimmer and I was like, why are you looking to the side? Why are you looking to the side? Come on, look forward, man. What are you doing? You know, when you're in your lane, like when you're in your lane and you stay in your lane, you like swimming your lane and you're going like full speed ahead. You can go as fast as you want to. You don't give a crap about who's next to you. You just going. And then you pushing it. And the only person I can coach you in that moment is yourself. Trust yourself. So I literally keep going, okay, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to trust myself. What am I going to trust myself in? And I'll write it all down. Trust yourself.
Kelly Rowland, everybody. I mean, what is there left to say? My reaction was in my I resonated so deeply with that. It's the best new lesson and it's the best recurring lesson. It's really one of the best lessons to hold on tightly because trust yourself leaps from so many other things. Go with that idea. Your gut is telling you the truth. You know, it's one thing that leads to like 10 other brilliant things. And so I'm just really excited that you shared that. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you.
It was such an honor to have you on the show.
It was an honor to be here. This is the best talk I've had in a long time. And I felt so transparent, like I could be transparent. So I allow you, thank you for allowing me the space to be transparent. I didn't feel a need to hold back. And sometimes I'm very like, yeah. But this was very satisfying and necessary for me too. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks so much for being a part of the Human family. Everybody, please check out Kelly's new book, Always With You, Always With Me. You heard her beautiful description. So please add this intention to your family home. And thank you guys for tuning into another episode of Human to Human.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Human to Human podcast and this episode with Kelly Rowland. I told you, didn't I? This episode is why we do the show, so that we can all remember we all have doubts, but we are all in this together. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and while you're at it, share this with someone you love or just someone you like, as long as you share it. Stay connected between episodes and follow us on Instagram at Human to Human with Stacey Ike. I'm your host, Stacey Ike, and remember, curiosity is the pathway to consciousness. So let's take the next step together. This episode was produced by executive producer Stacey Ike, producer Paris McCoy, and associate producers Henrietta Bayemi and Emma Jackson. Audio engineer Brian Schaefer. Theme music, Pieces by After the Fall. Music released by Chill Out Records. Post-production audio by the Revolt Podcast Network. And special thanks to our guests, supporters, and the entire team at Human to Human Productions.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.